Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 72. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week, we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. Our topic this week is something that we have all been involved with. Well, maybe not all of us, but it seems like most of the world has been involved with is Pokemon Go. But before that, I don't think I'm going to fit inside that Pokeball. I'm Brandon Ushio, and joining me is Nick English.
Oh, it's raining. I don't know what I'll do. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
And misunderstood the homework, Jeff Dumas.
I've been on my DS all week, and only I find out it's an app on your phone. Ah, oh, jeez, people need to be more clear about this stuff.
Well, you know, Pokemon video games. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I've been walking around, and I don't see anybody. No one told me it was an app.
Okay, Nick, explain to me the drying pan.
That is a quote from Pokemon.
That's what I thought.
Brock is running through the rain, and he says, "Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan."
Is that... That's your Brock impression?
that's how Brock talks in my brain.
Well, you got to imagine Nick having his eyes closed.
Having your eyes closed doesn't affect the pitch of your voice.
Yeah, but it affects the Brock impression quite a bit.
Yeah, but Brock, he's kind of whiny in my opinion. He's always looking for girls. He's like, "I want a girl." So that's how I picture him, even though that's not his voice.
Okay, and he was always cooking. If you notice, in the original series, Pikachu was always a little chubby. Until Brock was no longer on the show, then he slimmed down quite a bit.
That is something I've never noticed, but I'm going to look for that now.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that. Chubby Pikachu left with Brock, so all that food went away. Okay, so why don't we jump right into our new segment.
You're a wizard.
You are entering the random fandom.
Okay, so last week we talked about how Boy Wonder Trivia is going on hiatus for a little bit. If you guys really want it back, let us know and we'll bring that back. But we asked you guys to write in and tell us some of your favorite fandoms and a fandom that you wanted us just to kind of talk about for just a minute or two on the show. If it becomes popular enough, maybe we'll spend a little bit more time on that. But Jared Elder wrote in this week talking about his favorite fandoms, and he brought up the cartoon from 1993 to 95, which sounds like it was 2 years, but really it was like 1 year and a little bit. The TV cartoon called Exo Squad. Jeff, were you even born yet?
Yes, just barely.
Now, I vaguely remember this show. Nick, do you remember this show?
I do remember this show. I remember it actually quite well. I remember it was too adult for me. Like, okay, I don't mean like adult, you know, like, but I just remember that it touched on a lot of issues that, like, I went back and watched some of it and I was like, holy crap, they talk about a lot of stuff that is a little bit more like, you know, when I was like 11 or 12, you know, and so I was really into Ninja Turtles and, you know, I don't remember, you know, I mean, but this was just right around the time I was about to go to junior high and stuff. So, you know, you don't remember those things when you're that age, and then you go back and watch it again and you're like, oh yeah, there was some. And I'm not talking about like naughty adult, just like adult themes. Like, they touched on stuff that cartoons didn't really do a lot during that time, or at least in my brain, you know, like they talked about death and sadness and, you know, loneliness and stuff. And
yeah, it was definitely a heavier show. So the whole premise of this show was, you know, we're in the future, like 150 years or something like that from now, and human beings have colonized Mars and was it Venus?
The two closest.
Yeah,
the
so so Earth, Mars, and Venus are all human populations, and human beings created this race of workers basically called the Neo Sapiens that didn't get a whole lot of rights. And basically, I mean, it's pretty much what boils down with every like AI thing, artificial intelligence. This was just happened to be in a biological creation of humans, but you know, it turned into an uprising. They were like, well, why do we have to serve you? We're stronger, we're smarter, we're better than you, and you guys are keeping us down, so we're going to revolt. And they revolted.
They have like robotic suits.
Yeah, so I mean, that's Exo Squad.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But yeah, so I always like was like Mech Warrior, but not. You know, like that was my thing.
Like, you know, some of them were kind of like the on Alien, the mech suits definitely. That they wore on Alien. Here's an interesting bit of trivia for you, though. Squad leader JT Marsh, who was voiced by Robbie Benson, he did a couple other voices throughout the years, but the one that he is probably the most famous for is the Beast. He did the voice for the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yes, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, he's an awesome voice.
In 1990, here, you might like this one, Nick. In 1992, he also did the voice for Prince Alexander in King's Quest VI.
Oh, my heavens. So, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go watch Exo Squad again. I remember that the artwork was just like X-Men, like the X-Men cartoon. It just looked like the same people drew it to me.
Yeah, it was very similar. It seemed very similar to that back before, like, the computers got involved in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like during this time was when I would start drawing superheroes like all the time. Like, this is when I was just like, I need to find my own like way of drawing. And this type of show and this type of artwork during that time, because it was very much like, this is the way cartoons are drawn if they're in this style, influenced a lot of the way that I even draw today superheroes.
Exo Squad was kind of like the golden age of cartoons, in my opinion, just before it went to the crappy computer generated, but just like at the peak of hand-drawn awesomeness.
Do you remember what the first technical 3D animated cartoon was?
Transformers.
Are you talking about Reboot?
No, I'm talking about, like, I think they touted it. I remember specifically them touting it as the first all 3D, like, animated show. You remember? Dummies is what I remember. Do you remember those toys? Do you remember the
Yeah, I remember the toys. I remember the commercials, too. It was all, like, based off of the safety ads.
Yeah. And they made the toys, and then there was a TV show called Crash Test Dummies. And I remember, and I could be just, you know, not remembering, I mean, it was a while ago, but I remember them saying, the first ever all 3D animated show. And that was like their big thing. And, you know, it lasted a season or whatever, and that was done. And I watched it a few times, but anyway, that was just something that came to my mind. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, Crash Test Dummies was in 1993, and I was thinking about Reboot, the TV show, that was in 94. So, yeah, that was right about the same time as Exo Squad, and just after it, once everyone was like, wait, we can do that with computers? Yeah.
Yeah, the incredible Crash Test Dummies.
It turns out these computers, they ain't going away anytime soon.
But, you know, it might not have been the first one, but I just remember them talking about how it was such a big deal.
Yeah, that was very, very early.
Might have been the first successful one.
Definitely the first successful one in Nick's heart.
And at the end of the day, isn't that all that matters?
There was even an NES, like a Super Nintendo game for Crash Test Dummies.
Well, that was back in the day where they would make a video game out of anything, though,
yeah,
too.
Every single game. Yeah.
I mean, this was a little older than that, but do you remember what one was it? Was it Pizza Hut that had the little...
The Noid?
The Noid, yeah.
Yeah, the Noid. I remember that video game.
Yeah.
I got it from Blockbuster once.
In case you were wondering, Jeff, that is a store that used to exist.
I know what Blockbuster is.
I think we've used that pun before even, so...
I've rented from Hollywood Video before. I know the concept of going somewhere, renting something for a small number of days, and then sending it back. Now we just can do that through the mail.
Now we call that Gamefly.
Yeah.
Okay. So Random Fandom this week was Exo Squad, a great cartoon. You know what? I could not find it anywhere on any of the streaming services.
Oh, really?
It says right there on the IMDb page, watch on Amazon Video.
I think you have to pay for those, though.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not on instant video.
I'm looking for free streaming. I'm a cheap guy here.
I'm going to look for it right now.
Well, prove me wrong, please.
Oh, so I'm going to look.
Oh, yeah, look at that. You can buy season one in standard definition for $1.99.
Ooh, $1.99.
Oh, wait, I apologize. That's episode one. Season one is $10.99.
Are you serious?
There's 52 episodes in the whole series, so you're going to get a lot for $10.
I can buy the entire season one on DVD for $8.
I never said DVD.
What?
Did you find it for $8?
I found it for $7.90 on Amazon Prime. Two discs.
Hmm.
Only five left in stock. I better hurry back up. So Amazon does this thing where it does frequently bought together, and they have Exo Squad, and they also paired it in with Gargoyles. So if you liked Gargoyles,
oh my heavens, I love
probably
Gargoyles.
Like this.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't get Gargoyles. I got Silverhawks as the top.
Ooh, I remember that show too.
It's probably because I bought Silverhawks from Amazon. Amazon's like, you already own this.
Now on mine, it actually has one of the shows that I used to love when I was a kid called King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. Complete series for $15. I think I'm gonna buy it right now. No, I probably won't. But
don't forget to go through the fandom link.
Oh, I definitely will. And that, in fact, Amazon Prime is just linked as that for me.
Fandompodcast.com/Amazon in case you are keeping track at home.
This is totally a blast from the past for me. So there's another one called The Pirates of Dark Water that I used to watch.
Yes, I remember that one as well.
I had the toy, and I still say this all the time, and I don't know why, but it's just one of those things. There's Brave Star, and I say, Strength of the Bear, Eyes of the Hawk. I say that all the time still.
Speed of the Puma.
And then it was Ears of the Wolf. That's what it was.
Yep.
Ears of the Wolf. Yes, I still say that all the time. I'm like, I got to find it. Eyes of the Hawk. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
and
I saw
Star is spelled with two R's. So, you know it's cool. That was totally a thing during the early 90s.
Last time I checked, Brave Star was still available on Netflix.
It does say check Prime. Oh, it says DVD complete series for Brave Star. And I forgot that his horse was like robotic until I like looked at it again like a few years ago. Oh man, blast from the past. Thank you for bringing up Exo Squad. It just brought joy to my heart.
Exo Squad, it just fit right in with all those old cartoons. If you have a fandom that you want us to mention, go ahead and send us a line over at feedback@fandompodcast.com or fandompodcast.com/contact or facebook.com/fandompodcast. Yeah, that is, we want to hear about it. This was so much fun talking about Exo Squad and then seeing the rabbit trail that led us down the rabbit hole.
I could seriously do a whole episode about Gargoyles. Like, we could just talk about Gargoyles.
I never got to watch Gargoyles that much.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I can't remember what was on at the same time, but you know, back in the day when you and your siblings had to argue about who was going to watch what,
That's true.
One of my siblings was like, "No, I'm going to watch this," and you know, I can't remember what I was bartering for, but Gargoyles hit the chopping block.
So. Oh, it was so good, and it's still so good. Like, I've watched it numerous times. It is just a good show, and a lot of the actors are just some of the best voice actors that are out there. Like,
most of the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, most of the cast of Star Trek The Generation is on Gargoyles, yes.
Yeah, I was all of a sudden, William Riker, wait, no, yeah, that's not his name.
I know, that's how I was doing it too. I was like, ah, dang it, we need Jeff to just read his poster, so.
I'm Marina Sirtis, Jonathan Frakes, Michael Dorn.
Yeah, those are the names.
Yeah, see, Jeff knows.
No, I remember that being a good cartoon. I just never got to watch it that much, so.
I recommend it. The second season, or like the last season, I think it was only two seasons, but the last season kind of gets really out there, but it's still good. It was a good show.
Okay. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you want to be cool like Jared, you should send us your random fandoms, and we will talk about them.
And
on
if
air.
It doesn't lead to a rabbit hole of discussion, you failed. I'm kidding. Send it in anyway.
No, we have failed. If we don't go into a rabbit hole of discussion, then we have failed. Okay.
Then Jeff has failed this podcast.
Why did I fail? I wasn't. Jeff. I was not even one. I might not.
You're the one that brought it up. So now you're the scapegoat.
I might not have been born when this other one came on. Where? Gargoyles. I only vaguely remember.
All right. All right.
Terminator Genesis is now streaming with Prime.
It is. I want to say Terminator Genesis is also on. No, it's on Prime. That's right. That's the email I got. So there's a whole lot of really good stuff that came in with Prime with that. I think that
I'll
was.
I'll watch it again. I really enjoyed it.
I think you're the only one.
See, I don't think so.
I have the hardest time, Nick, when you're like, I really enjoyed that because
I enjoy everything.
Yeah, because you just have a good time. You just enjoy yourself. You're like, that was awesome. I had a blast. Where other people are like, well, that was terrible.
I know, it's hard. I'm such a bad person to have on the top podcast because I really do just look for the good in it, and then I just enjoy what it has to offer instead of what I want it to be. you know, it's really hard for me to just be like, I didn't it because I had a better idea. It's like, you know what? Why live life that way? It's just sad. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the journey.
Live life for the moment. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. That's
why
makes
I joined
life so much happier.
That's why I joined Team Yellow, which I'm kind of regretting.
We're not there yet.
I was reading.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. We will talk about that later.
I might just like delete everything, which would make me really sad because I miss my Pokemon. Just to join a different one.
Hang on. Let's talk about that in just a minute.
Okay.
But right now, let's talk about the top news.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so top news. You know what? Why don't we move up to Jeff failing the city? So I'm reordering the news because Jeff failed this city. So John Barrowman, who plays Malcolm Merlin or my mind is Ra's al Ghul. I'm listening to The Wizard's First Rule right now, and I wanted to say Darkin Rahl, but that's not him. He has been promoted to, instead of just being a thorn in Stephen Amell's side on Arrow, he is now a CWDC regular, meaning he's going to be a bad guy in pretty much all the shows, which makes sense since Ra's al Ghul kind of is a thorn in everybody's side and does these big world-changing events. Do you guys have thoughts about John Barrowman being on more TV?
I think more Barrowman is good for everything.
Yeah, agreed. You know, he's a good actor. He's hilarious.
He does really well in the part. Yeah. Like, I mean,
I do find it interesting that they have specifically said he'll be amongst all DC series, kind of hinting that maybe Arrow will no longer be called Arrow. I'm hoping, because it ended very bad. Oh my god, the season finale of Arrow. It literally, the ending was, we don't know if we got picked up, but they've made announcements. So yeah.
But then, like, yeah. I didn't actually finish this season yet. I'm still haven't binged it. But what I heard,
I think,
was
that
it's like
really messed up with magic.
They basically just said that everyone stopped being a hero or something. Like, that's what I heard.
Yeah. But,
like, everyone is just like, I give up. Arrow's the only one left. And it's like,
everyone
kind of, but not really.
I need to get caught up. Maybe I'll just watch the like final four episodes.
You could do that.
I think it's worth watching because you have access to Hulu. Like,
it's true.
Until just in a little bit. I can't remember when it is. I want to say it's November. When November hits, the CW's contract with Hulu expires, and you will no longer be able to get the show.
Can I watch the whole season on Hulu, or can I only watch the last five episodes? I'm going to look it up.
Well, probably just
now.
The last five episodes, knowing Hulu.
Yeah.
It's because you want to watch the whole season. You're only going to get the last five.
They want me to watch it while it airs. Yeah. I only do that with like three shows.
Yeah, it's so hard nowadays. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
So basically what we're saying is John Barrowman will be on CW's three shows into the DC Universe because they only have the three shows, right?
Yeah, you know, only three shows, except for maybe there's a rumor that possibly they might be bringing back Constantine for season
what?
Two. Last week we talked. What?
Yeah. As if I'm not looking at
last
the
week. I don't know why you're so surprised, Jeff. It's all right on this outline right in front of you.
Yeah, you told me a week ago. Oh, we forgot to count Supergirl. So five.
I was going to say, isn't there four?
Yeah. So every night, DC on the CW is possibly going to have a show because you got your Tuesday, Wednesday,
not
Thursday.
The whole season's there. Oh, wait, no. What the heck?
Squirrel!
It only has the first five episodes.
Oh, so the opposite of what you need.
So distracted.
The opposite of what I need. It literally says season four, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and I've watched like a few of them.
Or maybe those were
up to three, and then five. And that's the only thing that's on Arrow at all.
That's kind of ridiculous.
On Hulu.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
And I'm logged in, too.
Check out the CW app. See if they have it on the CW app.
CWC, or whatever it's called.
CWC.
I can't remember. On the Xbox, it's just
this is
CW
great radio,
app.
By the way. Like, just great radio. I'm going to look this up while you listen to me doing this.
It sounds
this.
Like trying to explain quick, to your quick, parents quick, quick, quick. How to get onto the internet. Okay, no, you click in the corner. Did you do it?
Hey, CW Seed has a ton of Whose Line Is It Anyway? I'm going to watch that.
Tons
and
of it.
Constantine.
Speaking of Constantine.
Yeah, like, Yeah, exactly. Thanks for bringing us back. So last week we talked about how season one was streaming on the CW, and we thought, well, maybe they're testing it out. Well, rumors are that they are going to have him come back for season two on the CW. They said they weren't going to be hosting any more spinoff superhero shows, but Supergirl still managed to show up on the CW. And so maybe it's not technically a spinoff, just a connected universe, because he appeared on his own show before he appeared on Arrow.
Yeah, he did have that one cameo. I think it's kind of brave of the CW picking it up, because as Nick so elegantly put a few months ago, that Constantine essentially is Supernatural, you know, demon hunting. But so now they're even on the same channel.
But so much better.
Wait, what's so much better, Supernatural or Constantine?
Constantine.
I didn't finish the first season of Constantine, and I didn't...
It's your fault, Jeff, that it was canceled. We all blame you.
It's true. I'll take the blame on that one. But it's coming back, so do I.
They just needed one more viewer. That could have been you.
They probably... Who knows?
No. So it is not on the CW seed.
Arrow?
Oh.
No. Hey. In fact, none of those shows are... Oh, The Flash. Oh, Flash 1990.
Oh, really?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
The Flash 1990 is on here. Let's see what this is.
Yeah, do you remember... So you know the guy who plays Barry's dad in the current Flash?
Yeah, he played
it.
Yeah.
He played The Flash back in 1990 for one season, and it was actually one of my favorite shows as a kid.
See, and here's the trickster. Yep. That's when Mark Hamill was the trickster.
Yep.
In fact, I heard that they used images from that trickster as Mark Hamill in the current Flash to kind of say, look at this guy's background. He has a history of this kind of stuff.
Possibly. I love how the CW is willing to pay homage to the things that came before it, whether it's a comic book or a TV show or both.
Mm. So, Nick, I was just about to ask, since you have CW Seed open, I'm assuming Supergirl Season 1 isn't streaming because you just told us nothing was?
I couldn't see. No, Supergirl's not on there. They have Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, which was a good show. You should watch it. Anything else of... Their big tagline on it is, every other show makes you pay to watch the OC. And I was like, well, I don't want to watch the OC anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to watch the OC. I want to watch...
But they do have Almost Human, the whole season of Almost Human.
Really? Which,
Almost Human or Being Human?
Almost Human, the one you like with Carl Urban.
Really? Because that was a Fox show.
It's on there. It says Almost Human. It's the whole season. They have Pushing Daisies as well.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Which is a great show.
We actually talked about that on the Nerd Dome podcast when I was on there this week.
Oh, yeah, I need to listen
Justice
to that.
Justice League Doom, the TV. Or the,
oh, Justice League Doom is the best.
Yeah, that one's on there. And then Whose Line Is It Anyway? And like the Ben Stiller show, which I never watched.
You can just kind of sit there and watch that.
Mortal Kombat X, the series. There you go. That's what you need to watch.
Is that the one that Machinima did?
Yeah, they literally have like maybe 30 shows, and they're all listed at the bottom.
Okay. All right. So, CW, I can't figure out their strategy other than they're slowly transitioning from teenage girls to nerds, which a lot of times are teenage girls. So, it works out.
Well, you see, we watch these shows for the comic book storyline. Women watch them because Stephen Amell takes his shirt off almost every episode.
I know lots of women who watch it for the story,
okay,
comic
helps.
Book stories, and I know lots of men who watch it for Stephen Amell.
Yeah, dude, I got lots of friends.
Yeah, that salmon ladder's always in the background.
That's one of my favorite lines, when Felicity walks in and sees Brandon Roth's character doing it, and she goes, oh God, I have a type.
That is a good line. Oh, that's funny. All right.
All right, so next news story. In Star Trek Beyond, they announced they are going to have a gay character. They named the gay character Hikaru Sulu. So the interesting thing about Sulu being gay is a lot of people are like, oh, that's obviously like to pay tribute to George Takei. And, you know, he wasn't out of the closet when he played that role in the original series. However, he is now, and he's a very big activist for gay rights, and you know, he's beloved by many, so it makes sense to put him as that character. However, George Takei actually is not a fan of
making,
he's like, I'm glad that they have a gay character in Star Trek, but I don't, they're like, don't make it Sulu, because Sulu was a flushed out character by Gene Roddenberry. He's like, Gene Roddenberry went all the way through this and made sure to know who he was. And I guess he's got this big storyline. You know, George Takei, I love the guy. He takes Sulu a little too seriously, though.
Well, you know, part of his identity at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he spent, you know, a good 10 minutes of his panel talking about how at the end of one of the Star Trek movies, Sulu comes swooping in the Excelsior and saves the day.
Yeah.
And it's all like, okay, that's really cool that he gets to be the captain of a ship and gets to swoop in and save the day. But what that meant was he wasn't a bridge member of the Enterprise, and he got less screen time and less money for that movie. So, so George Takei's reasoning is, you know, he's flushed out. We need to, you know, they should make somebody else. They should make a new character who's gay. Like, George Takei's all for having a gay character, just not Sulu. Simon Pegg responded to that, though, with something that I thought was awesome. He said that, you know, they thought about that when they were making the decision. They thought about making a new character be gay, but then they were like, well, then everyone's going to be like, oh, he's the gay one. He's the token character. So they decided that they had to make an existing character gay in order to make it not be about that. Because, you know, here's the thing, and I agree with both sides of this. It's like, oh, you know, there's this great story around this character already. Why do we have to go change it? Where, you know, in the comic books, when they change stuff like this, they at least find a way to transition it.
Well, haven't they already done that, though, with, like, the new timeline?
Yeah, but I don't know how that would change somebody's identity.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Not
at all.
I mean, changing the timeline wouldn't change that, but maybe...
if it was an alternate universe, it could, but it is.
I guess it could be an alternate universe. But I completely agree with Simon Pegg in saying, look, it shouldn't be about his orientation. It just should be, we're making one. Here he is. But it's not his character is not about that. We're not going to shove it in your face with that character. We're just going to say, you know what, he's gay, and he's a character that people already love, already know, and no one really will care that he's gay necessarily. What do you guys? I'm so torn on this because I love both of their responses. Both of them are like, no, according to, you know, the gay guy is saying, no, you should make a new character. And the straight guy's like, no, we need to make it not be a new character.
I kind of like both arguments. I agree, because if Gene Roddenberry said this is who Sulu is, you know, it's who Sulu is. Yeah, it's like rewriting the Bible. You just don't, it's whatever says in the Bible. But, but you know what? I agree too, because I also think that if they would have had anyone else be gay, they would have been like, well, isn't Sulu supposed to be gay? Like, people would have just been like, they should have made Sulu. You know, that would have been the same argument. Like, people would have just argued that it should have been Sulu instead.
You're saying that you can't make everybody happy on the internet?
No.
What?
Wait, no, you can, but only if Jeff is involved. Oh, wait.
Okay, Jeff, solve this for us.
Oh, so wait, I'm just supposed to all of a sudden solve the gay rights issue? What, is that what I just understood?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You can do that, right?
Here, I can solve this. Everyone, just mind your own business. Like, I don't know. I've solved most problems in the world.
Jeff solved it. World peace next, Jeff. World peace.
I see the answer to the gay question. Was the character of Sulu, was his sexual orientation ever brought up? The original series was.
He has a daughter. There's an episode where he has a daughter.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, it's in Generations. It's in Star Trek Generations. He has a daughter. And then he, in the Mirror, the alternate universe, the evil Sulu is heterosexual because he makes the moves on Uhura. But I don't think it really talks too much about...
I just always go back to when he rips his shirt off and starts sword fighting and he's prancing around. I just love that. And I'm like, I don't know. I hate to be saying that it's just very obvious at that point, but I don't know.
Yeah, both arguments are really well put, you know. Yeah, who knows Sulu better than George Takei? He
at least who living knows Sulu better.
Sure. Because, you know, he's done it more than anyone. I think as long as it doesn't affect John Cho and his performance, like as long as he's not all of a sudden being overly over the top, you know, if it's just as much as, oh, by the way, this is my husband. as long as it doesn't affect John Cho's performance, I don't really care. I mean, while we're on the topic of gay men, John Barrowman, very openly gay, but you'd never guess it by his acting, you know, and it doesn't, it doesn't have to cross over.
It just doesn't matter. Yeah.
I mean, you could probably guess based on seeing him at Comic-Con and stuff, because he very much loves making men uncomfortable like that. Anyway.
Well, you know, and we don't have this in the news, but I'm going to bring it up because it goes very much along with this conversation. The solicitations for Iron Man say that a 15-year-old girl named Riri Williams is going to take over the role of Iron Man.
Yeah, I heard that.
And everyone's freaking out about it because she's black. And Marvel's shoving diversity down our throats. No, it just...
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. Like, what does it have to do with anything? Like, they made a black character. Great. There are black people in the world. Calm down.
Yeah. But at the same time, there are already black superheroes. You know, so I can kind of see...
There.
I can vaguely see...
Well...
All of a sudden, I realize I'm fighting for racism, and I'm going to hopefully try to get out of this conversation. But there hasn't even been a... issue yet, right? I mean, issue as in comic book issue, not as...
Yeah, it's not...
So, I go back to my Ghostbusters argument. Maybe see the thing. Maybe read the thing. Then make your opinion. If you didn't like that they were making Iron Man a woman, and then you read the book, and you don't like it, and based on story, then yeah, you can be mad because they've changed something and it made it worse. But look at...
No, I don't think you can be mad because it's a freaking comic book. And so they wrote something that was not for you. I don't think that means you get to be mad.
Well, you can be mad, just keep it to yourself.
No, because that's almost worse. Here's the thing that I'm running into right now. I am so glad that we have fandom right now because this world, this week has just been terrible for news and stuff like that. I mean, we can't go more than 2 days without a mass shooting, it seems. Not a mass shooting, but a big controversial thing. And you know what? I talked to people who so one person that I talked to, you know, I mentioned, oh yeah, there was another shooting today. And they said, oh, you know, we don't need to start wars over in other countries anymore because we've let them all come into this country. And I'm all like, whoa, I didn't even tell you who was involved and what was going on. They just assumed that it was somebody of an ethnic background, an immigrant. And I was like, you know, it's not. And on top of that, all of these things have had nothing to do with immigrants. And they're like, and she was like, I know, we let everyone become citizens nowadays. And it's like,
I'd like to exit this conversation. So please, you have fun.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did. That's kind of what I did. I was just like, all right, I'm done. I'm not even going to talk about it. And I got to go. We'll talk
to you
later.
Would you look at the time? I have to be somewhere with someone less racist right now.
So but here's the thing. Would you rather somebody keep that in and you not know that's how they felt? Or would you rather know how that's how they feel and move on? So I don't know. Don't keep it in. But at the same time, if you find yourself getting upset about stuff like that, you need to take a serious look at yourself and your values. That's all there is to it. Okay. So back to fandom, because fandom is a great way to escape all this stuff.
I would rather argue fandom. Like, I would rather argue Captain America over any political party right now. You know, it's much more fun. And plus, there can't be a winner either way.
Yeah. So, you know, the episode. So I did an episode last week of the supplemental version of the fandom podcast where I talked about the Native American lore, some of the stories that I found from each of the houses of Ilvermorny. And I, the week before, I'm like, oh, we'll do this every once in a while. But, you know, with some of the news, I was like, you know what? I just need to escape a little bit. I'm going to record another episode because fandom is awesome because you can talk about some serious things, but it sure helps to not have to dwell on all that stuff all the time. Which, you know, I think Pokemon Go came out at a great time, but we're not quite done with the news yet. Okay. The next news story is one that I've seen this off and on social media for a little bit, but I'll read the headline. The headline says, Doctor Who news. Matt Smith could play the Doctor again, showrunner Stephen Moffat teases. And it's based off of a question that Matt Smith was asked about, you know, what do you think about leaving the show? And he says, I regret leaving the show. He wishes that he would have done it longer. And he said, and I would return in a heartbeat if I were asked. And then he says, they will ask me back one day, won't they? I think when I read that, I think to myself, you know, they do specials. They do, you know, you got the three doctors.
The five
that
doctors.
They've done already.
Yeah, the five doctors.
The five doctors.
Yeah.
The Big Finish does audio programs where they've started bringing back, I think David Tennant just did one.
Yep, and so, Catherine Tate.
And Catherine Tate. So, yeah, yeah, so they're going to have him back. But the news article here says, you know, he might come back. And Stephen Moffat teases it because somebody tweeted at Stephen Moffat asking about it. And Stephen Moffat hasn't said anything, basically.
And so with his silence, we all assume that it's true, like the internet does.
He was like, I was really sad when Matt left. I felt like everything was blowing up. And he didn't say anything regarding him coming back. And never. But this headline is, Stephen Moffat's teasing it. It's like, oh, shut up.
So this is what I think they should do. If they really want to bring back Matt Smith should play the Master. And this is why. Because what is more like of a mind screw you than coming back as yourself? You know, like, you are my arch enemy and you are going to be looking at yourself when you defeat me. You know, like, I don't know, seems like a Moffat thing to do, but I think it would be pretty sweet. But I know that there would be a lot of kids out there that would just be like, oh my gosh, that's Matt Smith, it's my doctor, now he's evil. And it would be hard, you know, for them. But
I think it would be cool if they did like a hologram of him, like the Master used a hologram. Because I don't want them to get rid of, what's her name?
Missy. She's so good.
Because she does such a great job. But I would definitely not mind having the Master kind of play a mind game on him like that. Especially because the Master right now is really more than I remember in the original. But it was there in the original. I just don't remember it as much as they're playing on it now. Playing off the fact that, you know what, we were friends. We were really good friends.
And so, I want more of that. I hope that they touch on that this season. And I think Capaldi just does he's so good with storylines like that. I just think he would be good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this season.
Anyone could pull it off, it would be Matt Smith and Capaldi.
Yeah.
So I think that would be awesome.
Did Matt Smith's doctor ever meet the Master? I can't think of any time that he has.
I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
Oh, wait. Was there the one time? There was the one time when it was... I think that was Tennant.
Tennant did the drums.
You know what? Yeah, it was Tennant. Yeah, Matt Smith did not. Yeah, that wasn't Matt Smith.
So Matt Smith will not be back to be the Doctor. I don't care if some headline says that Stephen Moffat teases it. Just because he doesn't say anything about it doesn't mean that he teased it.
Teasing it would be, you know, he might come back.
I'm just going to say, I'm not really cast as somebody in a show that's coming up, but I'm not going to confirm nor deny it. So you guys can just run with that.
And you know what? I really like Nick a lot, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
So basically you're saying you've never seen me and Batman in the room together. So, you know.
Exactly. So just, you know.
Airtight logic.
All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense right there.
I might walk around with a white helmet on and a visor and drive cars all the time, but I'm not going to say anything.
I'm not going to say I'm the Stig, but, you know.
Wait, I didn't say that.
All right, I think we have exhausted the news. You know, we talked about Barrowman being a regular on the CW DC shows. Constantine might be coming back. Sulu is now gay in the Star Trek Beyond movie, and people are torn whether that was the right decision. And no, Matt Smith will not be the next Doctor. Stop clicking there. It's just a clickbait headline. That's all it is. Let's jump into our main discussion. This week, like we've already talked about a couple times, Pokemon Go came out. Pokemon Go is an augmented reality game where it overlays the game map with real world street maps and uses GPS data. So you actually have to get out of your house, get up, and go hunt the Pokemon. When you go to battle them, it turns on your camera and it places the Pokemon in the real world. And it's really kind of interesting to see how this has divided people. So Jeff has not had a lot of success in this game because his DS just won't pick up the GPS signals, I guess.
Maybe I need a new DS. Do I need a 3DS? Is that what I'm understanding?
Maybe a 4GS.
4GS.
A 4G iPhone GS.
4GB.
iPhone 6S.
Can I use the excuse of my phone being too old for it? Is there a phone too old for it?
If you can't run iOS 8, then it's too old.
You're fine.
Darn.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm actively against it. I just have chose not to play it.
Because you're the angry geek hipster. That's all there is to it.
It really is. Everyone out there, exactly why you're against it.
Everyone out there saying Pokemon's awesome, so I'm going to not play it.
It's the same reason why your father has never seen E.T.
Well, now it's just principle. But
Exactly.
A part of it for me was when I clicked, I do have it downloaded, I just have never opened it. Part of it is it said in-app purchases, and I am very bad at that.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if you are really bad at in-app purchases, you know, the nice thing is you have to be in a physical location to kind of use those in-app purchases and feel like you need them.
Okay.
Because nothing's timer-based. It's all geographical location-based and how much walking. Now, like, if they would let you buy kilometers basically to go towards your eggs, that would probably make them a lot of money. So here's the premise. You go and you catch these Pokemon, and you also get other power-ups. Some of the power-ups can be eggs, and when you put them in the incubators, they're, you know, it's a 2-kilometer egg or a 5-kilometer egg or 10 or 25 kilometers. So you go walk that far. As you have the app open, it is watching your GPS data, and it will be like, oh, you walked this far, and count that towards the countdown on the egg. Now, if you could do an in-app purchase to get that countdown to go away, they could make some money on that, and people could hatch eggs from their house. But I don't think they're going to do that because it kind of goes against the spirit of the game, which is to get people up and get people out.
I think that would both make the game super successful and also crash it at the same time, because sounds like...
Well, speaking of crashes...
Oh, wait, does Pokemon Go have a problem with staying connected?
So there have been a lot of server crashes on Pokemon Go. It's funny, they did like this rollout. I think they started in New Zealand, and then they went to Australia, and then they opened the floodgates and went to Japan and the U.S. at the exact same time.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Japan, the U.S., and the U.K., I want to say. And then all of a sudden, everything started crashing. You know, it's almost like I think they were like, okay, well, let's try this smaller. Oh, yeah, everything's working fine here. Let's open the floodgates. And then they're like, oh, my gosh, what did I just do? They actually turned it off in the U.K. There were a lot of people upset about that. They had it in the U.K. app stores. And then once everything started crashing, they're like, okay, we got to cut things off. So they cut off the U.K., but they left America and Japan on there. And I'm sure there have been people scrambling 24/7 since the game launched to get the servers up and reliable. They have been a lot better lately.
Yeah, definitely.
But the first couple days, it was crashing nonstop. And
like, if I was anywhere close to something that was besides my little corner of the world, like, you know, it was like, you cannot connect. Yeah, I got really good at putting in my login information the past like 5 days. I actually have it my email address copied and pasted permanently, so all I have to do is just paste it, and then all I have to do is put in my password, because, you know, my email's longer than my password. So yeah,
that's funny. So I used my Google credentials to sign in, and I've got 2-factor authentication on my Google account. So I type in my username and my password, and I've got like a 15-character password, and I've got a long Gmail account. And then it says, okay, now I need the 6-digit code, so I have to exit the app, go into my authenticator app, copy the code, and then paste it into there. And it's like, oh my gosh. And there was times where it was, you know, like, once every 5 minutes I was doing that. I was like, that resulted in some funny memes. They, you know, Team Rocket was responsible for the server crashes, and, you know, funny pictures of potatoes hooked up as a battery, and like, we found a picture of the data center.
All that set aside, there's a reason why we keep trying to log in. A lot of people would just be like, this is maddening, I don't want to play this. You know, and there have been apps.
I almost got to that point.
Yeah, there have been apps that I've done that with, but I haven't gotten to that point with this yet. And so it just kind of shows that it is a very fun game to play, because I'm willing to just wait out this, you know, inadequacy.
See, and this is my first Pokemon game, because I never had a DS or anything like that. So I, you know what, and I like it a lot. I love the fact that you can go out there and catch these guys. I almost feel like they took a page from Snapchat, though, in their user interfaces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they give you no instructions. They just say, here you go, have fun, which is actually, in my opinion, it is genius. Because what that forces you to do is once you figure that out, you have to go show all your friends. And you have to go show your friends how smart you are. And be like, hey, look how cool I am. I know how this game works because I'm a genius. And then... And then because you're showing your friends and you're telling them it's good, you in your brain are it's a marketing thing. It makes you feel like it's better than it actually is. It makes your friend be like, well, they think it's cool. And so it gets you talking to your friends about this.
I do have to say I've been talking to everybody about it. And I say, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to hear about this. Like, I have a friend at my work and he's like, I get why you're into it. Like, I get it. It's really cool. I just don't know anything about Pokemon, and so I don't want to play it. And so, like, today when we went to lunch, I was like, dude, you got to drive. I'm sorry. I got to get hit all the Pokestops on the way, and I'm not doing it while we're driving. You know, like, I'm not going to drive go.
Speaking about, like, telling people tricks and stuff like this, as long as you're doing driving Pokestops, did you know that you can just start it spinning and then hit the X?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I did that from the beginning, and me and Lena, like, on Saturday, we drove to a friend's party, and instead of going on the freeway, we purposely took State Street to get there, which, took us 10 more minutes to get to the party. We were late anyway, so it didn't matter, and it was a pool party, so you didn't need to be there on time, and we purposely went down State Street just so that we could see all of the Pokestops and get them while we were on our way there. And she got really good at holding both phones, and she'd be like, okay. And she figured out how to do it, you know, and she's like, okay, I'm going to test this out. I'm going to test out if I can just hit it, you know, so that, you know, we're just driving by and getting it done. We got a lot of Pokeballs that day, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I actually filled up my inventory the other day with Pokestops. If you ever are looking for a place to go do this, Daybreak over by the lake there.
Oh, yeah.
They have, like, over on Soda Row, they have, like, three Pokestops within the same radius of each other.
This is in Utah, guys, in the Salt Lake Valley.
Yeah, Daybreak in South Jordan, Utah.
I'd like to point out, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so here's the way the game works. Sorry. You got a couple nerds talking about Pokemon, and we just got lost in the weeds. So you have, this is augmented reality, and you've got Pokestops, and you have gyms. And if you're familiar with Pokemon, the gyms are where you go to battle your Pokemon. And so these Pokestops, you go there, and they're little power-up stations, basically. And about once every 5 minutes, you can spin a little spinner in there and get random rewards, Pokeballs.
Yeah, and it makes it so you don't have to do any in-app purchases. If you go to enough of these stops, then you just get everything you need to play the game.
Like, yeah. And there are some things that you can only get by purchasing them. However, if you hold and maintain a gym, if you have Pokemon that are helping to control a gym for your team, then every day you can go in and earn the currency. Yeah, that you go in the shop.
It's like Pokecoin or something.
You don't have to spend any money on that. It's an option that you have.
Yeah, every 20 hours you can click on the little shield that's up on the right-hand corner if you have a Poke gym and you're one of the gym leaders
the gym leaders.
I was a gym leader for 2 minutes.
I have been a gym leader for a couple days now.
No, it was pretty funny because I went.
Oh, they took it over.
Oh, no. Did you lose it?
Yeah, I just pulled it up. My gym got taken over.
Oh, you might as well quit.
This is literally what happened. I was driving and I was like, oh, here's the gym that's right by my house. And I looked at it and I was like, dude, these guys are not. I have plenty of Pokemon that could beat both of these guys because it was only a 2-level gym and, you know, both of them were lower level than my best, you know, Pokemon that I had at the time, which was Eradicate. So I went, you know, drove up, took over the gym, and then I was like, I got to get home. It's late. You know, I was just coming home from Home Depot, and I literally, like, was pulling out of the parking lot, and I watched two guys pull in, park, walk out to the thing, and then I was like, oh, man, hopefully they're on my team. And then I looked, you know, because it's close enough to my house that I can see it in the distance and still click on it. And it was two guys from the red team.
Oh, dang, Valor.
And they took it. And then the next day was Sunday, and this gym so happens to be very close to a church. And I was like, oh, man, you know, what's going on? And Sunday, it was a four-level gym for my team, yellow team. And so it just means that everybody at church was like, dang, we're taking this back or something, I guess. And so, you know, there's a lot of team yellow around here. But,
you know, and that's a shame because Team Yellow. Okay, so this is really kind of funny. I asked out on Facebook. I said, "Hey, friends, what team should I be on?" Yeah. And I had a couple friends respond, and I had one guy that I was like, well, if he's going to be on Team Yellow, I'm going to be on Team Blue. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the blue team, the Mystics, and they, and my family, like an hour later, was like, oh, join Team Yellow. So I am literally the only one on my family who is not
Team Instinct is what it is.
Instinct, yeah. See, yeah, I've got a cousin who's on Mystics with me. But here's the thing, and that matters, because these gyms, once you get to a high enough level,
it is so hard to take them over.
People start working together. You have to have more than one person to go and take out these gyms.
Yeah,
it makes it so much easier when you have teamwork. And it's really funny. There's a couple Facebook groups that I'm a member of that are for the Mystic team members.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and they are organized out here in Tooele County where I live, which is a small rural community. It's literally, when you're buying a house, you can get a rural grant to buy a house out here. And they've set up strike shops or strike teams where they meet at. So one of the places they meet and talk strategy is at the Nerd Store. Go figure.
Nice.
What are the odds?
So are the guys from the Nerd Store on Blue, or are they divided as well?
So they're divided. So one of the Nerd Store owners, the brother that's in West Valley, he's on Instinct. He's Yellow.
Yeah.
And then the brother that's in Tooele, he's a Mystic, and he's Blue. And so every night, people meet up at a store, and they talk strategy, and then they go out as a mobile strike team.
Nice.
You know, they send out a couple mobile strike teams there. Okay, we're going to go get this area and this area, and we figured out some pretty good leveling strategies, but I was sworn to secrecy by the Brotherhood of Mystics.
Yeah, no problem.
Wait, no.
That is literally the nerdiest thing you've ever said.
this is what makes me sad, because like I was the first person to get level 5 around here, and I looked at it and I made my choice based on what team I actually thought that I would do. Like if I was literally saying this is, you know, I kind of treated it like Pottermore in that way, you know?
That's exactly what I did, too.
Because I looked at it, and I was like, dude, and we talked about this on the last podcast, like, I am driven by gut feelings, instinct, and, you know, passion. Like, that's what drives me. I don't think things through always, you know, like, I try to, and I've gotten better at it in my old age, but that's, you know, my initial gut punch reaction is, yes, this feels right, I'm going to do it, you know? And that's how I make decisions and stuff like that. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to join the Yellow team, even though Blue team, you know, and I am not driven by being the most powerful. So I was just like, nope, I don't even care about Red. And plus, all of the people that I like online that I had met, they were all like, Team Red, yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't really want to be a part of that. You know, I was like, I kind of want to be something that's not what everyone's doing. But, you know, I kind of regret it a little bit now choosing Yellow, because, you know, I talked to Lena, and when Lena got, you know, 5, I said, well, I really think that you would be in the Blue because, you know, this is how you think.
Let me read the descriptions from the game. So these are the descriptions when you're trying to pick your team. It says, Spark is the leader of Team Instinct, the Yellow team. Spark is about trusting your instincts, hence the name of the team. Spark is not one for nuance. If you feel that Pokemon are innately talented and that success in battle can be chalked up to trusting your gut, Instinct is probably the way to go. Team Instinct's mascot is the legendary bird Zapdos. So, I mean, that's exactly what you're saying, is trusting your gut and going that way. Team Mystic, Blanche is in charge of Team Mystic, the brainiest of the bunch. The Blue team is most interested in evolution. Beyond that, the members of this faction are cool to a point of intimidation. If you're interested in the science behind what makes Pokemon tick and are convinced that keeping calm is all that it takes for success, choose Team Mystic. Mystic is represented by Articuno, the icy legendary. And then for Team Valor, it says, Candela is the head of the Red team, and she's got spunk for days. Her MO is very much in line with what Pokemon trainers have been taught from the get-go. To be the very best Pokemon master, you've got to train for it. Bonding with your Pokemon helps tap into their strengths, according to Team Valor. If that sounds good for you, go Valor. Also, if you like the Firebird legendary Moltres, that's another reason to go with Valor. Moltres is his mascot. So, I mean, it's exactly what you were just saying. It's instinct, wisdom, basically knowledge, and strength. So,
yeah, and these all of my friends, like literally everyone that I would play this game with, are Blue. like a bunch of people in my ward, they were like, oh yeah, I'm on Team Blue. And then Lena is, you are, like, just like all the people that I would play with and go like actually be able to, hey, oh, and Amy Champion, she's blue. Like, we went on a Poke journey today before the podcast to try to catch
just
Pokemon.
Because you are on a different team doesn't mean you can't play with them. I got a message from a guy on my HOA committee. He sent me a message. He's like, hey, I'm going to go hit up this Pokestop and put a lure on it. You want to show up? When do you want to do that? And I was like, I'm recording a podcast tonight. But he's on Team Valor. And he's like, hey, let's work together, you know? We can't fight the gym together, but we can.
See, and me and Lena, like, the first time we ever went to a gym, like, we went to a yellow gym, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, I just wanted to try it out. And it was really unfortunate because I didn't understand how they worked. And so it was, you know, I mean, just like everything else. So I go up there, and I've got my Raticate, and I'm like, cool, and I beat the gym. Like, I helped increase it to level 3. And I was like, oh, cool. And I didn't realize that I then should have taken my Pokemon and put him in the gym, right? Because now it has another level, and I was the one that did it. And so I can physically take mine and put him in, and then I would have been a gym leader at that gym. But I didn't realize that, and I was just confused. I was like, why can I only use one, and Lena's over here using 6? And I was like, something's wrong with this. Like, I was like, oh, I must have a glitch, you know, because everything was so glitchy. I was just like, oh, I must have had a glitch. And so, like, I rebooted, and, like, I tried to figure out why I could only have one. And I was like, oh. And now I'm, like, sad because I could have had, you know, my, at least for a little while, I could have had it. And it's still owned by Yellow, and so I was like, oh, and so some kid just lucked out. He was like, hey, there's an extra spot here. And then he just put his Pokemon in there, and he's even a lower level than I am, but I can't boot him out. I don't know. Is there a way to, like, I have a higher level than you?
I haven't figured that out yet. I wish there was, because there's this gym by my house. We got it up to, like, a level 7, but it was filled with, like, people who had, like, 100.
Yeah.
You know, their combat power is, like, 100, and I've got Pokemon with combat level of like 800-900. It's like, come on, let me come in there. And they got taken over because there were a bunch of little 100s, which you'd go in there with an 800 and it's going to
just wipe it out. Yeah,
one Pokemon,
especially if you can have the 800 and then 5 others, you know, take them out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now the gyms around me are all about 400 or 500, which is what my, you know, my highest level is. And so I just don't think that I'd be able to do that again, you know? And so my next step is to try and, you know, get into a yellow gym by increasing its level by 1 and then taking that spot. And so I've been trying to build up my guys, and I actually went out today to do that, you know, and I actually walked to the park that has like 4 or 5 stops. That's just down, you know, I mean, it's a few blocks away, but it's enough of a walk that it's good. And the server just kept crashing the whole time that I was there. I was like, dang it. Like, I did physically get like a few Pokemon that I needed, and I, you know, had a few stops, but like my whole journey was just thwarted because the server just wouldn't stay on. And I was like, oh.
So Jeff, you're really quiet. Do you understand at all what we're saying, or is this like, what?
I understand Pokemon part Amy.
Well, you understand Amy? That's impressive that a male can understand a female.
I understand word Amy. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I will say, while you were talking, I have opened the app, and it has crashed 3 times. So there's my Pokemon Go story.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. I think that's going to... Right now, Facebook feeds and everything like that are all filled with Pokemon Go. And
4 times.
It's going to die down. Give it a couple weeks. Give it a couple weeks, and it will die down. And if you don't like it, you won't see like very much of it at all.
Another thing that concerns me is I use my phone all day to listen to podcasts because I don't want to socialize with my coworkers. And also, I'm in vehicles. I'm not actually with coworkers. And I've heard that running the game on its own is draining people's batteries like no other. How much use will I actually get out of my phone if I'm running the app in the background while also listening to something?
Okay, so I charge...
Oh, my phone is constantly dead.
Okay, not really helping my point.
See, and I listen... You can listen to the podcast and have it on. Like, I did that. I do that all the time because I do the same thing. I listen to, you know, music and stuff at work and whatnot. But I have my phone plugged in, like, in the car, you know, and then also at work so that it doesn't die down completely. And I usually will get a full charge all day long, right? Like I'm listening all day and I get home and I still have, you know, a good charge before I do at work. I don't have that anymore. You know, like I definitely have to charge my phone a little bit before I can just come home, you know? So, I mean, it does. I mean, you're running the GPS all day, right? Now, one thing that I've done in order to make it so that that doesn't work or that it doesn't, you know, bring it down as fast is you literally, if you're the only one driving in the car, there's not much that your benefit that you're going to get by running it while you're driving in the car, because I've looked and, you know, this could be just hearsay, but you don't actually get any, like your, when you're walking
distance
out of your incubators, unless you're going 15 miles per hour or slower.
Okay. So just as a note, Pokemon Go is made by a company called Niantic in partnership with the Pokemon Company, which is partially owned by Nintendo, which is, Niantic used to be owned by Google before they became Alphabet, if that's not confusing enough. Basically, Google and Nintendo got together and did this. Google and Niantic made another game called Ingress.
Yeah,
which is basically the same thing with a unique storyline. And what people found on that is you had to be going less than 25 miles an hour,
okay,
in order to get distance. They also found that portals and the little power-ups that you would get are based off of foot traffic and congregations. So if you notice, we've got a lot of churches in the area are Pokestops and gyms. And that's because once a week, there are a lot of people that congregate in them. And Niantic has access to Google's mapping data, which, you know, everybody who has Google Maps is feeding that to say there's lots of people that show up here. We should make this a Pokestop. And these Pokestops also match up with the Ingress portals.
Yeah. And the pictures are old, too. Like the one of the Pokestops by my house is like that little painting that they say it's not there anymore. It's something completely different, but all right. You know, it's like painting on fence and it's like, that's not there anymore.
Yeah. So it works on bicycle. It works on foot. On car, you have to be prowling through the neighborhood really slowly. It was really funny. I had a community Facebook group where somebody posted, in case you see this van driving through your neighborhood really slowly, please don't call the cops. It's just me catching Pokemon.
So on that note, what if I walked on the treadmill? Or does it count to distance?
GPS
it's only
data.
There's another. You guys are really doing a bad job at selling this.
Well, you know, it's kind of contrary to what a lot of nerds do in getting out of the house.
Right. Like, that's the whole point, but is that you do have to physically go out and walk, Jeff. So you can't be a recluse and explore your treadmill. Like, they want you to go out and see the world, you know?
Well, let's be honest. They want you to go out and get them more GPS data.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure they're selling GPS data.
Yeah, so. For sure. But like, that's the whole point of it. And I mean, it's been crazy to me how many people I see doing it. Like, I mean, it just baffles my mind. I come out of church and we're like, cool, this is a stop. So we, you know, we walked to church. We physically said, okay, we're going to walk instead of drive the car, like, because we want to do this, right? And like last night, I went for a walk because I was like, dude, I am so close to getting these eggs, you know, hatched. I'm just going to go for a walk real quick. And Lena's like, cool, go ahead and go. I never would have done that. Like, I never would have even thought, hey, I'm just going to go for a walk just because I want to. I would have watched another episode of Arrow and then been sad because it was so bad or something. You know, like, I, you know, so I physically am active because of this freaking game. And it's awesome to me. Like,
okay, I do have some warnings for you. In, I want to say it was Missouri, there were criminals who actually took this to advantage. They put a lure on the Pokestop, which what that does is it draws Pokemon to the Pokestop, which what that also does is draws Pokemon players to the Pokestop. And so what these criminals did is they put a lure on there, and then they mugged the people who would come. And this was like 1 a.m.
Oh, that's your own fault.
So they put the lure out. So they put the lure out and people would wander up to this, and because it's 1 a.m. you're not with all your friends, you're just wandering around by yourself, and so you show up and you get mugged, and sorry, you should pay more attention. It's funny, there was a gal who was trying to get, I don't know what she was doing, but for some reason she had to jump a fence or something like that. So she jumped a fence by a riverbank or something, and she found a dead body. We're hearing lots of stories about, you know, car accidents that are caused. You know, so far the stories that have come out have been hoaxes. They've just been funny, like, well, you know. But don't Pokemon Go and drive. Don't. Yep. That you really, unless you've got somebody to try to hit the stops for you, there's no benefit in running it while you're driving. You know, be safe still. You know what you're, where you're supposed to be and where you're not. And don't trespass. You hear these stories about, and I think they're hoaxes, about kids who like are knocking on people's doors and being all like, can I go in your backyard and get the Pikachu that's back there? There's no, if you can see the Pikachu back there, you can capture.
Yeah, you can click on it.
You don't have to be within the radius.
Yeah, and so I don't believe them. I don't believe it because I can stand in the middle of the road and on both sides of the street if there's one in somebody's backyard and still click it. Like, I don't have to be that close, you know?
You know, you hear stories about somebody, oh, give me your phone at the bar, and they steal all your Pokemon. That's not how the game works. You can't steal people's Pokemon. There are a lot of people making up these stories that are being opportunists just to get a lot of, it's the hoaxes that we talked about a while back. They want people to click on stuff and they think they're hilarious. It's not true. So before you're like, Pokemon's evil, we should pay attention. I had this guy on my social media feed who posted one of the hoaxes, and he's like, we need to grow up, America. This is a stupid game and it's costing people their lives. Americans, we need to grow up. And it's like, dude, it's a hoax. But you know, at the same point, I pasted Snopes links on three of his posts today. I'm surprised I'm still friended by him.
Wow.
Here are some tips and tricks that you're not normally going to see on here. Is like, there's a battery saver mode. You can save your battery a little bit by checking the battery saver. It doesn't explain how to use it. You use it by turning your phone upside down.
Yeah, and then it turns the screen off, and it's still running in the background.
Yep, and so it'll still connect your GPS data. You know, the steps still go towards it. And it also, it will still buzz and make noise when you get a Pokestop nearby or a Pokemon appears. So battery saver is good. Another good way to save your battery and data is to go into Google Maps and download the area that you're in offline for offline use, because it uses Google Maps to get the data. So you have to, so if you download the offline data, you're using less network, because that's another thing. It uses a lot of data. So if you have pre-downloaded the maps on Wi-Fi, it will save your data and it will save your battery. Do you have any other tricks, Nick,
just turn it off when I'm driving. You know, that's just kind of an obvious one. The other thing is that like, I've caught a lot of Pokemon just sitting in my bed. Like,
I can't. None of them appear for me.
Yeah,
like, I have to get up and move.
But the other trick that I do is that I'll turn it off and then move, like go down the block and then come back and there'll be Pokemon there, because it seems like I guess I trick it or something into thinking that, you know, I moved enough or something, and then it kind of resets itself and then comes back. I must just be lucky that there's like a few that appear. I do live on the corner of a street, and so I technically have two streets kind of there to go off of. And there are times that I mean, there'll be an hour that I won't even have anything appear, right? But like, I'll just kind of keep it on, plugged in. You know, and I'm using Wi-Fi in my house just to, you know, do it. And, you know, I'll be on the toilet and, oh, look, there's a Rattata. And I'll just take this guy with me, you know, or whatever. But I've actually found that it doesn't use, like, a ton of data. I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of test this out. So I used it for, you know, since it came out. I downloaded it the first day that night. And I was looking at, you know, how much data it used over the past 5 days, and I've been consistently using it. Now, granted, I've been in Wi-Fi areas a lot, but I've gone out and wandered and gone on walks with the Cobra and with my wife and stuff like that. And it said I'd only used 58 megabytes of data on Pokemon Go app, like total.
Okay, well, you know, here's the thing. I don't track that because I am not concerned about data, because my data plan is I have enough on there. But people that I've been talking to says that it uses a lot of data. But, you know, in a couple days, 58. So,
you know that's like 4 days. Data.
That's 4 days. Let's say, so let's do some math right here. So 4 days divided by, let's say, 60 gigs. So that's 15 or 60 megs to round, do easy math. So that's 15 megs a day times 30. That's 450 megs a month, which, you know, if you've got a 2 gig data plan, that's a quarter of your data.
For sure. Yeah.
So, I
looked at that same thing and it said I'd use 7 gigs for my, you know, podcast. So like, I don't know when it resets every month, but I was like, so that's where all my data goes.
My bad. Here's another trick that I've learned that makes it easier to catch Pokemon. Turn off the AR setting when you're catching Pokemon. Because it's really cool to have the camera and have the Pokemon show up in the real world. But it doesn't do a great job of showing off of doing the depth.
Yeah.
And so I found a lot of times it looks like it's closer than it is because it tries to fit it into the real world. But then your throws aren't very good.
Yeah. And I've found that if I use my pointer finger instead of my thumb, I shoot straighter. It's like swiping with my finger instead of trying to do it with my thumb. There is like a trick shot that you can do that I've achieved a couple times.
The curveball?
Yeah, the curveball. You get more experience if you actually do it. Like you kind of do this little rotatey thing.
Yeah, it gives you 10 extra experience points.
Yeah.
If you'd use it, and then if you get a nice or a great, it gives you even more.
The one thing that I've read is that if you wait until the circle gets smaller, that's the best time to catch them. Right. That you have a higher chance of catching the Pokemon if you wait until that circle goes smaller. I have tested
that is right from the developers.
Yeah, and I have tested this, and like literally, I will do that. And I won't catch him, and then I'll just be like, screw this, and I'll just do the huge circle, and I catch him. Like, it's happened more often than it's not. And I'm like, come on, like, is this true, or is this just stupid? Like, you know, are they just trying to trick me? And then the other thing is that it'll say nice when it's on the big one instead of when it's on the small one. Or
yeah,
like,
I don't know how that works.
And so I'm just like, I don't know, I've been testing it out, but it's been confusing me. You guys, if all of our listeners out there, you know, put me to shame, but like, it's just been really frustrating to me. I'm like, dude, I've tried to catch this Pikachu and it's been 6 freaking times that I've caught him and he's escaped. And then my wife is over here next to me and she just like clicks on it and she's like, I didn't even know you could do that. And she caught it on the first try and I didn't get that Pikachu after the baseball game because of that. Well,
that's too funny. That's too funny. I mean, here's what Pokemon Go boils down to. It's kind of a fun AR catch 'em game. It's a fun way to find other nerds. If you think about it, people are nicer to people when they think they have something in common. Oh, we play the same game. We can be friends. So if nothing else, that is something that Pokemon has done this week, which is an awesome time for it to do it. Because on my social media feed, it was either, you know, social justice freak outs, whatever side you were on, or Pokemon Go. And I tell you, I enjoyed Pokemon Go a whole lot more. You know, the social justice stuff may have been more important, but you can only take so much of that before you become an angry, bitter person.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun using Pokemon Go to escape.
I've had a lot of experiences with that. Even today, when I was trying to get the server to come out, there were 3 other people standing there saying, I can't get this to connect either. And we had a nice, fun conversation. I never would have talked to those people in the park. I like never would have even thought to say, hey, you know, I might have been like, good day to you or whatever.
Nodded your head or something like
that. Yeah, or, you know, just been cordial. But like, you know, and it was people that I didn't even think would play the game. You know, like I was like, it's cool that you are playing the game because you don't look like a geek to me. You know, I mean, I know I'm typecasting you and I know I'm, you know, assuming something. But it was like, you know what? That's cool. You know, that now we have something to talk about other than, hey, you know what? My kid's at the park. So is yours. We're sitting at this gazebo, like trying to do this thing, you know, like.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, no,
you know?
It's. So, I mean, I think that's what it is. It's very much the social aspect of it. Very much the get together and meet real life people in the real world and have a conversation starter. I mean, it's different than, you know, anybody can have a kid. Anybody can have a dog. But it takes a certain kind of a person to have a Pokemon app open on their phone.
Wow. That's a bold statement right there.
And you know what, Jeff? Your future wife could be playing Pokemon Go right now.
And I'll never meet her because this app has crashed 10 times.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You got to give it a try.
I'm giving it a try. The game won't let me try.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you're doing it from your house. And you need to get out of your house and try it.
Yep.
I'm not starting a game. I don't know if I want to play over data. You know, I'll stay at home and use my Wi-Fi.
Here's the thing. You're going to have to get out. If you want to experience the game at all, you have to get out of your house and use data. That's just the only option.
And I did find on Sunday when I was at your house having dinner that there's not very many Pokemon, surprisingly, by your house, because there is a canal, and I was really hoping that I could get some water Pokemon by that canal that's by your house, and I didn't get any. But maybe I need to walk closer to the canal. Who knows? Maybe I'll try that next time. Next Sunday, we'll go for a walk.
Okay, so, Nick, do you have anything else to say about Pokemon?
I really, really enjoy it. I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun talking about it with people. It's been crazy to me to just see random people with their phones out and me, like, trying to catch a Pikachu while I'm right next to this, you know, this awesome restaurant, and this guy yells out the window, "Ha ha, Pokemon Go!" And I'm like, "You know it, dude." And he's just like, "Yeah, man." And it's just some like random dude that I thought was going to shoot me because he's yelling out the window, you know, or something. You know, it's just kind of funny.
That reminds me of another news story. There was a guy who went out and he couldn't sleep at like 1 a.m. So we went out for a walk in a park, and there were these two guys sitting on a bench that, you know, the type that you would typecast in, you know, gangster movies kind of a thing. And they see him walking around with his phone and like, hey, go check behind that van. There was an Onyx over there earlier. And so he goes and he catches it and he comes back to thank him. And, you know, they start talking about Pokemon Go, and he's this white nerdy guy. And all of a sudden a police officer rolls up, and, you know, the police officer assumes that there's a drug deal going on because it's like, why else would these people be talking to each other at 1 a.m. in the park? And so they had to explain to the police officer how it worked and what it was. And then the police officer downloaded the app on his phone. And so
that's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot.
You
there's
know,
a lot of fun
bringing everyone together, bringing everyone together.
And it's just going to open up more games. I mean, with this success, you know that every now gaming company is like, how can we do this? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it, you know, better? You know, and I think It's only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, even the developers have said that, you know, soon you're going to be able to trade in between, you know, like me and you could trade Pokemon, you know, between each other, you know, probably do it over Bluetooth or something, or I don't know. But, you know, We will be able to connect and battle each other. I envision like events where like they'll say, okay, everybody, Mewtwo is going to be at, you know, this coordinate at this time, bring your team.
Oh yeah, because,
you know, or whatever.
Because Ingress does that and the same company
you know,
they got this like tri-state thing going on where they had hundreds of people there.
Yeah, and so, they're just like, everyone's going to battle this, and you can get tons of loot or tons of whatever, and, you know, whatever team gets it, you know, they get this big bonus or whatever, so grab your team and get out there so you can be the team that beats Mewtwo or whatever. I mean, the possibilities of this is just awesome and mind-blowing and boggling, and, you know, that it's this popular and that, like, even, you know, Jeff's mom was like, hey, I need to know what's going on. And she downloaded the app, and Jeff's like, don't download the app. And then he's like, don't do it. And she's like, no, I want to try it out. And so she downloads it and looks at it and has a character and everything.
So, Jeff, what you're saying is your mom got on Pokemon Go before you did.
Yeah, but to be fair, I've been trying this whole podcast and it hasn't let me. That's literally the only thing I can add to this conversation is it's still not working.
And have you actually force closed the app?
I have force closed it, and it gets...
So when you double tap it, you slide the card up to make it disappear and stuff like that?
So, yeah, I'm having a great time.
Okay, so maybe it is too old to run on your phone.
I don't know if I should use this as an excuse not to play or an excuse to get a new phone, because I've been looking for both.
Probably new phone.
I have been looking for a new phone. Reason.
Yes, you need a new phone. Then we can meet up and play. Is it a kid thing?
Yes.
Kinda, but the candy wrapping on it is a kid thing, but it's actually more than that. It's much more fun. when you do it in groups. You could even taunt people. Like I said, my whole family is yellow, and I've got one cousin who's blue. And my family just like went nuts on this. And they've got some super high-level Pokemon and stuff like that. And they took over the gym next door to my cousin's apartment with all their super high-level Pokemon in
nice.
It just to taunt him. So, yeah. I think that it
I really
is worth
need
a shot.
To see if I can get into blue because... Like, I hope that they'll let me switch.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you choose your team, you got to be careful because right now there is no switching your team.
If I can switch,
or your nickname.
You know, like the minute that I can switch, I'm going to only because me and Lena play it together. And if we could both go to the gym and help each other, you know, with the gym instead of being
going to the gym as a couple.
Competing against each other at the gym. See, and originally I was like, oh, well, it'd be cool to me not be on her team because we'll be able to battle each other. But as the game stands right now, we really can't do that. So maybe when they make it so that, you know, I can battle her, you know, just at our house or whatever, it might change, you know, whether or not I want to be on blue or yellow. But yeah, just a word to the wise, learn from me. You know, find out who your friends are.
Be careful which team you pick.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't matter. Like, there's no benefit to being any of them right now. You know, and maybe there will be eventually. You know, maybe the people that are in blue will have less candy to evolve something, and then the instinct people will, you know, have something else that, you know, helps them. You know, maybe their eggs hatch faster, and then the people that are red have a little bit stronger Pokemon at their level or something. You know, something random like that, you know, but as it stands right now, it doesn't matter. So
if you are listening to this and you are not a Pokemon fan, don't worry. I think this episode is us getting it out of our systems, but you got to remember that Pokemon did win our video game tournament.
Oh, I know. Just barely. And I honestly don't remember.
Yeah. So Pokemon won the video game tournament. So, and Pokemon Go, if it had been out before then, it definitely would have won the video game tournament.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
But, you know, this is a little bit... So, Jeff, do you feel a little bit more enlightened about Pokemon other than the fact that the server keeps crashing on you?
You know, honestly, from what you guys have said, I know what you mean. I honestly think I'm not going to give it a shot. Even if it started loading,
You have to be too social.
Not that. It's that I use my phone too much to have something else draining in the background. And it just crashed again.
What if I bought you a battery pack?
Buy me a new phone, and I don't think I'd give this a shot. I don't know. It just seems... I don't know. It doesn't seem for me. I just don't... I'm trying to find a more polite word for care.
Yeah, I just don't care. It's
he doesn't want to be... Yeah, and I mean, I get it. I understand. I know you, Jeff, well enough that I was like, I really don't think he's going to want to play this game. I was kind of hoping you would because it would be fun to play with you. But I mean, I get it. And it's not for everyone. It is definitely helping people who are, you know, get out of the house, right? And that's the thing that I love about it is that, I mean, I literally am getting out of the house more and I need an excuse to do it. I don't have the self-discipline to do it myself. And
I'll tell you though, once winter comes...
Yeah, no, it's not going to be as...
Yeah, the game will not be near as popular as it is right now because a nice stroll in nice weather is very different than a stroll through a blizzard.
For sure.
So winter is coming.
Probably has something to do with the fact that when I play video games, it's not supposed to be work. Like, I want to sit down and play Minecraft. I want to sit down and be Batman, you know? That's not why I game. If I want to go for a walk, if I want to go walk, I'll listen to my book. I don't need an excuse. I walk.
See, and I walk and catch Pokemon and listen to my book.
And then comes back to the house 15 minutes later when he has to charge his phone.
Exactly.
No, I charged my phone. It was fully charged. I was out Pokemoning for 2.5 hours before I came here.
That can't be the right word for it. Pokemoning?
I like that.
Well,
going.
All I know is...
I was...
Pokemon?
All I know is my phone is plugged into the charger, and it is losing power.
Okay, I think it's time for a new phone.
You definitely do need a new phone, and so it is a legitimate concern for your phone because it does not hold a charge.
No, it holds a charge just fine.
With that statement, it holds the phone just charged just fine. It's just not charging while it's on
charging
the charger.
While I'm trying to do this go with it.
Oh, that's not what's causing it to drain that quickly.
Oh, maybe if I actually plugged it in right. comment retracted.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, all right, Jeff, you will get this reference at least. The one thing, and anybody who's not playing Pokemon, the one meme that I've seen that makes me feel that this is probably the way that it feels for people who aren't, is from Star Trek: The Next Generation. It's a picture of everyone playing the game, which is the visual like blue tornadoes catching the red disc game that like makes everybody mind controlled, except for Wesley Crusher because he never plays it. On Star Trek: The Next Generation, so
that's funny.
Come play the game. Come on, Jeff. Come Pokemoning with us.
I've been trying to this whole podcast.
Get a new phone.
There's a lot going on financially right now that I cannot justify that purchase.
Oh, being responsible grown
sure,
up.
Sure, that's the word for it. It's the lack right. of responsibility.
One thing that right. is kind of well, funny is Lena was the same way as Jeff. Like, why are you so excited for this game? What is going on? Blah, blah, blah. And we went out for a walk, and we went with a couple of friends that have no idea what Pokemon is. Like, no idea. And they were just laughing at me that I was so excited. Oh, my gosh, here's a Rattata. I'm going to catch it. Oh, here's an Eevee. I'm going to catch it. And I was just showing them, like, everything that was cool about the game. And Lena said she wasn't going to play it. She said she wasn't going to do anything with it. And we sat down after we went on our walk. I laid in bed and I was pulling up the app to kind of, you know, do all my transfers and stuff. And Lena shows me that she just made an account. And I went, wait, you're going to play? And she's like, yeah, it's cool. I want to play it. Like, I was like, sweet. And then she was
so
like,
basically the moral of this, of these past 90 minutes has been find a friend who plays it and have them show you, because it's one of those things that you have to see to understand.
Sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like that too.
Thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. If you want to contribute to our discussion about Pokemon or submit a random fandom for us to talk about and geek out a little bit about next week, contact us over at fandompodcast.com/contact, facebook.com/fandompodcast, or feedback@fandompodcast.com. I'm going to have some links in the show notes to Exo Squad, you know, either the DVD or the Amazon video links on that, and also battery cases for and battery chargers for mobile phones so that you can enjoy this Pokemon game. Make sure that you subscribe to us in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any of the other popular podcast players out there. And until next time,
all dreams are but another reality. Never forget. A signpost on the southern island in Pokemon.
Yeah, whatever you say, this game's not loading.
May the fandom be with you.